All right. Welcome to 3 to 5 Guys, Boxes and Fries, where we have anywhere more or less than 3 to 5 guys. Not necessarily any boxes or fries, but it's 3 guys. We actually have 4 people today. 5, right? 4.
Well, I must be level and Austin are 2 different people.
Is Austin Hammer? Or is that?
I'm Hammer.
Hammer's here. All right. So we have me, Phil. You got
me, Eric.
Plus we got Dallin, Lovell, and Hammer. All right, so we're going to talk about something today, and the topic is, well, first of all, I had a question for you guys to start it off, and this is important. Are corn nuts an offensive snack? Is it an antisocial snack?
Oh, I'm going to say it depends on the setting. If it's a closed room and you have somebody else next to you, yes, Eric.
Oh, you mean like my work environment?
Yeah, so I can like share an office together. And so I kind of am interested in your perspective on this.
Let's just say it's a good thing that we're good friends.
I mean, it's a very loud snack. It also has a very strong odor.
Yes.
But I enjoy it so much, so I kind of don't care. You know?
Yes. The amount of and the quantity of them that you eat.
It's kind of become a tradition to have a bag of corn nuts every morning. So, All right. And here's another question. Do you or do you not use a toilet seat cover in a public restroom?
I always do, personally.
Always do.
Well, that's not a surprise.
Yeah.
I double up. You wipe down the table after a meeting with Lysol wipes.
Yes.
Never. I just hover.
Working those quads.
Well, I mean, you guys think that actually that tissue barrier like makes any difference?
I know I've read things that say that it doesn't. I know that, but part of me is like, it's covering something at least, you know.
It's all mental.
So basically, if you're okay sitting on a toilet seat with a cover and being like, I'm fine, then you don't need to wash your hands after you use toilet paper. Oh. That layer, you know what I mean? So we're good.
That's quite a lot. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I think toilet paper is the worst thing in the world.
All right. So today the topic is bias. And another gentleman named Aaron, he said that was something he was thinking about, but then he hasn't joined us today. But...
Well, it is 3 to 5 guys, so.
Yeah, but it could be more or less than 3 to 5 guys.
Then why even have the moniker?
Because I already created the logo.
Okay.
So, it just as a topic. So, like, what do you guys feel about any thoughts on bias? I mean, have you heard of anything like unintentional bias or?
When you got yourself like a a good skirt steak, you definitely want to cut on the bias. I will say that. Oh, well,
I know you can't hear this, Hammer, but my face is in my palm.
Good. That's the reaction I wanted.
You got it.
Just the word bias, I guess, for me, it comes from the thought is with bias, it depends on your upbringing and like your point of view. It's like we're all raised in different cultures, different environments, and just our experiences give us our own different perspective on anything that we come across. So yeah, bias is a big thing, and be able to step back and try to and recognize that you do have a bias is a tough thing to do. Yeah.
Exactly. I feel like there's as many biases as psychological disorders. Have you ever went through that list of biases online? And you're like, oh, do I have that? Yeah, there's tons out there that they've identified as biases. It's crazy. I've also learned about one thing interesting that I found about biases is that there's a way to minimize your bias. And that, at least this is the one study that I found, was the more diverse experiences you have with people in different countries, cultures, right? Just diversity in general, the more of a shot you have at minimizing your bias. But it's not believed that you can actually be unbiased completely.
Yeah.
But you can take steps in that direction to be more or less unbiased based on your diversity of your experiences.
So the more the more exposure you have to different thoughts or ways of being, right? Not just cultures, but just even just people with different political views or different things, just more exposure to different things is going to make you less biased, is what you're saying, or could, if you could allow it to, I guess.
Yeah. And it, yeah, that can manifest. I feel like you can have one recently that I know my wife and I actually, I know this brings up maybe religious stuff, but we went to a mosque, you know, the other month just to see it, check things out and to like kind of talk with those people and kind of get an understanding of their, you know, their culture, their religion. And like, it was really cool experience, you know, and those experiences like that, you know, I feel like kind of helped me see the world a little bit differently. Or it's just like, I don't know. Not everybody has the opportunity to go to another country, but it's nice to be able to kind of step into somebody else's, you know, turf and like understand why they do the things the way they do it. And having, you know, you kind of develop this understanding and an empathy maybe as you take the time to understand that culture.
Okay, so here's the question I have. Like, so imagine just what, to try to kind of determine what the actual value of being unbiased is. So let's say you live in a community, a very close community, like maybe you're Amish or you're in, you know, some, what do you call them? Those hippie, what do they call them? Where everyone lives, you know, like everyone's very like-minded. You're all the same. So you could all be biased equally. Is there value to being unbiased if all you do is are exposed to the same thing? You know what I mean? Like, what does it benefit to us individually to be unbiased if the environment doesn't necessarily need it? You know, does that make sense what I'm asking?
It does. And there's pros and cons to both. If everyone's unbiased and where everyone believes the exact same thing, then yeah, you're probably going to agree on things really quickly. So your meetings will be shorter, but that's not necessarily a good thing. People who have different experiences can bring in a different perspective that others haven't thought about. Something that has been going through my mind whenever we're talking about this bias is, as humans, we like to jump to conclusions as fast as we can. And our previous experiences, our biasness helps us to see a answer or see a way that something should be done. And that whenever we're hearing somebody talk about an idea, that we immediately go to what we think is right based off of our experience. We try to see the future and go right to it. And anytime somebody has something contrary to that, it's really hard to, we fight against it.
And then let me think of something interesting. Like, actually, I could see there being value to bias to a certain degree. So we look at our experiences and it can help protect ourselves, right? From certain situations, like maybe a certain person maybe mugged you. And so you could use that as an initial kind of test to protect yourself. But I think the problem could be when you just, that becomes your complete conclusion, right? You could use it as a way to assess a situation, but you need to be able to change your opinion. You know, like you can use that bias, but then assess the situation for what it is in that moment. I don't know. Just something I was thinking, like bias could be good to an extent, maybe. Is there any way you guys think bias could be a good thing?
Well, some bias is better than others, because I just tested your guys' theory in the bathroom and I neither used a seat cover nor washed my hands, and I find no statistically significant amount of filth or bacteria on my
cool. You can leave.
Take some corn up out of the bathroom. Put your hand.
I'm glad I'm home today.
But I mean, like, we assume bias is a bad thing, right? And it's, but is it ever good? That's my question.
I don't think it's a matter of whether it's good or bad. It's an inherent part of the human condition.
Interesting.
So it's more of accepting it and learning how to deal with it and recognizing it. Like any other weakness or issue that someone has that they struggle with, it's a universal struggle of bias. And its first step is to recognize I have bias and to try to minimize opportunities for that bias to influence the decisions you make or the way you treat people as much as possible.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Frankly, yeah, I feel like as human beings, I mean, that's frankly just how our minds work. Our minds like to create associations, and basically, you know, that's what a bias is. You know, you create associations in your mind with things based upon your own experience, so your own things that you've seen or knowledge you have, and you make associations with other objects, right? And yeah, I think the key is to, yes, you know, recognize that you have biases and try to introduce yourself to as many competing I guess, viewpoints, and constantly challenge your own, you know, conclusions, are kind of the best ways to kind of, you know, try to minimize the impact of your own biases, right? But
yeah,
it's kind of impossible as human beings, just the way our minds work, to completely get rid of it.
Yeah, but I mean, some people are better at recognizing the value in self-assessment more than others. There's plenty of people in the world, I think, who are just fine just the way they are, and all the evidence they've seen, you know, contributes to that bias of like, yeah, I'm fine, I don't need any help. And so, and my computer's going to sleep, so I don't know if it kept recording. I think so. But yeah, I think that it's really valuable to be able to make that self-assessment, but it's not easy to do. But I actually find a lot of like satisfaction in my life when I found myself being able to disprove my own assumptions or biases or whatever. It's a really good feeling when you realize something that you thought was some negative thing is actually not what I thought. You know what I mean? It's but that does take work and introspection, or just maybe research or different things. It takes effort, you know?
Well, what's interesting about what you just said is you have a bias about something, and then you listen, and then you get input about this new thing, and then you have a new understanding. But what's interesting is your bias isn't gone. You just created a new bias with this new information that you have. You just changed your point of view. So you are biased still, but it's just shifted.
You're hoping, hopefully, to a more accurate place, you know? I mean, because it's all funny, because it's all from our perspective. Like, the things that you take as a fact. In fact, I was listening to this podcast the other day of this guy who had, by the time he was a certain age, he didn't believe in Santa Claus anymore, but he had this memory when he was a kid, like his grandfather dressed as an Easter bunny on Easter Sunday. And he like saw him, like they saw the Easter bunny's ears hopping behind the bushes. And so for years after he knew Santa Claus wasn't real, he still in his mind knew for a fact that Easter bunny was real, you know, in his mind, that was a fact. So it's interesting. I don't know if this relates, but it's just funny how we could have things that we are 100% sure of, but actually reality isn't really the case, you know?
Well, if you could know everything there is to know about everything, right, which is impossible because of however many variables there are, you'd probably have no bias. Right. I mean, I assume like that's just my assumption here as well. I'm making an assumption about, you know, that. But like if you could be omniscient in that sense, right, then how could you possibly be biased?
I mean, because you can still choose to like one thing better than another.
Yeah.
You mean favoritism then?
Yeah.
But that's a form of
knowledge
bias,
alone,
right?
Doesn't remove bias. Hmm. Knowledge just makes you more accountable for it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I mean, bias is kind of can be preference. It doesn't have to necessarily even be a bad thing. Like I have a bias towards corn nuts, right? Doesn't mean that. I guess you could say that's a bad thing, but it's not immoral or something.
No one's arguing that it's not a good thing.
But yeah.
Well, bias sounds like it's a combination of knowledge. It's something that you know, and experience. It's taking something that you experience, and it's applying. You're coming to conclusions based off experiences, not necessarily facts.
Yeah. So then if you have like, let's say you go through the scientific process and now for all intents and purposes, this thing is a fact. It now it goes into a new realm maybe of like beyond bias. It's just, this is how it is. I mean, I don't know. It goes from your opinion to a fact maybe. I don't know.
I feel like, have you guys ever seen Behind the Curve? I think it's called Behind the Curve on Netflix.
No. What is it?
It's about, what is it? Flat earthers. So it's actually really well done documentary. And it gets you thinking and kind of introspecting about your own beliefs, but it's specifically showing like how flat earthers like are so convinced about the way the world is, like that the way the world is a certain way, right? That the earth is flat.
Mm-hmm.
And they even show, like, it's funny in the film, like, they actually document in the film flat earthers denying that the earth is round, right? Even though they were doing their own experiments and doing their own tests. And their own tests caught on film were proving, like, disproving their own theories.
Mm-hmm.
But because they were so, like, filled with confirmation bias, and they basically were so they weren't willing to look beyond their own beliefs. And so they always came up with another way to explain away why that happened. Yeah. And so even though it's really interesting, but yeah, even though something like looks like it appears to disprove it completely, like they're like, no, it must have been this reason and this reason. You know, give a bunch of different examples of why maybe the test didn't go as well as they thought.
Yeah, I clearly made a mistake in my test, but if like they actually made a mistake and then it somehow proved it was flat, like, oh, perfect.
Right. And then it comes to like, well, what types of evidences will actually convince a flat earther? Or I mean, if you apply it to yourself, like what evidences would convince me, you know, that something isn't the way I think it is?
Yeah.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I like that point, Dally brought up. Because a bias is actually a form of it's a comfort area. You know something, and I believe that. And if somebody challenges it, if I'm going to try to change my mind, you're getting out of your comfort zone. So for like flat earthers, if challenging their idea that the earth is round, it's attacking their comfort zone, and they have to get out of that to try to think, change their mentality for that. So they'll fight it because they want to stay in their comfort zones because that's what they believe, and changing and going to new ideas is scary. And frankly, it gets you out of your comfort zone. So it is hard to shake biases because it's going to force you to look at things differently and get you uncomfortable.
In the film, you also see some of their ulterior motives. I feel like I gave away part of the fun part of the film, but sorry about that. But I feel like you get to see some of their ulterior motives as well. Like, and I mean, and that kind of drive why they might not be willing to give up that tunnel vision. And I'm biased as well to even say that they have tunnel vision in a sense, right? But like seeing it from a scientific perspective, it seems very clear that they're just ignoring real facts and things that have been proven over and over and over again by the scientific community. But they're, because of, you know, it's a conspiracy theory. Like they think, you know, somebody is planning and is plotting and has done, you know, has basically the government, you can't trust them kind of a thing. And they made it so they made the whole population believe essentially that the Earth is, you know, round. And
the biggest question is, what does the government or any entity have to gain by convincing people that the Earth is flat as opposed to round? Like, what do you have to gain?
I think it's pretty cool.
But like, that's the question I want them to answer. Like, yeah, what do they believe that anyone has to gain by believing that it's round over flat? Like, why is there something to be benefited from that?
They're attacking the people who sell the.
The conspiracy is to hide something that's true because it will expose something. But what?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the value there?
But I think that because it takes. Here's the thing I'm thinking of as you guys are both speaking, that it takes a lot of energy to come to certain conclusions and a lot of investment, and in the face of facts, it's just like, oh, but I have so. It's like. What's the thing like when you have invested so much into something, you don't want to like back out at that point. Like, I have too much into this.
A sunk cost or a...
Yeah, it's just like a sunk cost at that point, but they're just saying it's like, hey, I put so much into this feeling, this belief, and you don't want to hear it. In fact, there's this podcast I love, and it's my favorite podcast. It's called Last Podcast on the Left, and they expose all kinds of things. They talk about serial killers and cults and all these things, and they had this topic for 5 episodes on something that I hold very personal, that I care a lot about. And I can't listen to it. I haven't listened to any of the episodes because I don't want to hear it. You know what I mean? Because I have feelings about this thing too strongly. And every time they present all these facts, I'm like, whoa, it's so enlightening. They do so much research. They do such a good job with all these topics. I don't want to hear this one, you know, because I have too much invested. It's kind of interesting.
Fact: warm water tastes round and cold water tastes pointy.
Exactly.
Okay, Johnny.
Bears beat Bowser.
Anyways, yeah. So something to think about. Kind of a little introspection, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if anyone, Eric here is someone who has very strong opinions, but I like to see that he always, in face of facts, is willing to change his position. That's something that's
only one time that's happened.
There's times, okay?
Anyway, facts and sheer wisdom, he does not change his stance.
Well, you know who has a real problem not doing that is Lovell. No, I'm just kidding.
No problem. Well,
thanks, you guys. Thanks for enjoying participating in the conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And this is where we put in the outro music and it fades away. All right.